Work.
Time for our World of Work, and today we're discussing dress codes in the workplace. What's appropriate and what's not, depending on the industry you're in, of course. I know there have been growing calls for a more diversified dress code in the workplace. The traditional dress code of suits and ties, and remember the pencil skirts? There used to be a thing, blazers as well. Those are slowly fading. They're being replaced by, there are people who come to work with torn jeans, there's visible tattoos, and even crop tops, I'm telling you. And a lot of it is about self-expression and being comfortable, but sometimes we take it too far. But I guess it depends on the environment and the industry that you're in. But we're seeing more and more calls for a more inclusive dress code policy at work that does not inadvertently discriminate. Let's bring in Khodisho Pasha now, who's a senior associate in employment law practice, senior employment law practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Khodisho, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Morning, Clement, and morning to all your listeners. Yeah, good to be here.
So my understanding is that there is no legislation that necessarily governs dress codes in the workplace, but what informs the dress code of most workplaces without discriminating against employees?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you are right. Our country does not have an act of parliament that explicitly prohibits appearance-based, regulates how one should dress in the workplace. It's mostly governed by an employer-specific policy. So an employer will take into consideration the inherent requirements of the job and come up with a policy just based on that. So there isn't really an act prescribing that. It's left to the employer to decide that.
And I mean, in the past, I remember, you know, dress code policies did not, for instance, accommodate those who do not identify with their sex that is assigned at birth. So how do you find the balance between self-expression and professionalism? And do most workplaces have room for flexibility? In other words, can a workplace come up with its own dress code and say, this is what we expect of you? Is that fine? And is it something they do together with the employees, or is it just the decision coming from the top?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it should be pointed out that the foundation of it all will always be, you know, dignity, equality, and freedom of expression, you know, which is rights that are protected by our constitution. And if those are challenged, or if an employer institutes a policy which challenges, for instance, a person's dignity, equality, or freedom, then it could be challenged on those basis and say that, well, look, my rights, my constitutional rights are being infringed. And especially, you know, and I think we see these things, you know, even the example that you just gave now regarding to sex and what a person identifies with, that was actually a case that was taken on to the labor court, where we had an employee who was a biological male but wished to transition to a female. Right. Now, obviously, in this, she requested that, I would like to dress as a male. I don't want to dress as a female.
Yeah.
And obviously, this created some contention between the employee and the employer. The employee was later dismissed, and the employee took the matter to the labor court. And obviously the labor court was appalled that the employer insisted on having this employee dress in male clothes, and they actually highlighted that in such a constitutional democracy, we should employers should have some sort of reasonable accommodation. And even though obviously the employer argued that, no, we are an engineering firm, our profession is male dominated, and this will obviously lead to us losing customers and the like. But obviously, the court was not happy about that. And obviously, they lost that case. And the labor court emphasized that there should be reasonable accommodation, and a dress code shouldn't be so rigidly implemented in order to just for the sake of doing so.
Yeah.
So that's one of the cases where we see, and for just a reference, the case is Ellis versus Bowler, Adehom, Africa. And it's just an interesting one where we see that. But I have to say, though, it's the issue then becomes, I think the biggest issue here, Clement, is when the inherent requirements of the job require you to dress in a specific way. I think that's something that's very important there.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of another matter as well involving a soldier who wanted to wear a headscarf, and this was for religious reasons. You know, because the SANDF, of course, has a right to have rules, and some rules are there to protect the soldiers, like on the battlefield. And there was one of the employees who wanted to wear a hijab, but there were, you know, reasons that were given that that could be inflammable, it could pose danger, etc., etc. So the matter also at some point ended up in court. What happens though, Khodisho, when there are some concerns that colleagues have? So can I, as a colleague, if I find another colleague's dress code inappropriate, can I report it to HR, or do I take it to the manager first? What's the process?
Yeah, I think the process then, or the first question one has to ask themselves, is what does the company say is inappropriate? So the issue is not necessarily what I think is inappropriate, but what does the company deem to be inappropriate? Because that would be the basis of your complaint, in a sense that this person is making me feel uncomfortable. And in any event, they are dressed in such a way that is not in compliance with our company's policy. If that is not the case, then you don't have any basis to say, well, this person is wearing this or that, and I feel offended by that.
Yes.
So, yeah, you have to look at what the company deems as inappropriate. And on that basis, then, can you raise it and say, look, there's a person who's not complying with the company's policies.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes you've got people who, by the way, I'm taking your calls. I see your WhatsApps coming through. I'll get to them before we wrap up this chat. 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Do you have a workplace dress code in your company? And how do you make sure that you adhere to the dress code? I have seen people in the workplace, in some workplaces, not specifically here, but who come dressed up in attires that I just think that's quite inappropriate for a space like this. How do you raise something like that? Do you talk to someone about it? Because as Khodisho says, it's based, if the company doesn't have rules that speak against that kind of dress code, then who are you to want to raise an issue about it? But Khodisho, the question I wanted to ask was, there are people who, because obviously companies must also respect people's religious but also cultural beliefs. There are people, let's say, abazobayothwasa, you know, someone who's training to be a sangoma, and sometimes they are required to wear specific things in the work, in specific things everywhere they go, including to work. And sometimes, you know, some people will feel that's a bit overwhelming. Is that something that you can negotiate as an employee with your bosses and say, okay, I know that you guys don't allow for this and this, but this is the journey that I'm undergoing, and I request that I at least be allowed to wear this during this time?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, Clement, because again, it depends, you know. I'm sure this is what you're expecting, having a lawyer on your call. Every answer is it depends. But you know, if you were to put that same person, let's say, in a factory where there is moving machinery and the like, obviously an employer cannot be expected to accommodate somebody in an environment like that, where obviously you need proper PPE, you know, to safeguard the employee against, you know, the inherent risks of such a job. So in that instance, obviously, you may engage with the employee and say, look, obviously, we respect your beliefs and your culture. However, we cannot accept that you wear clothes that deviate from our specific dress code. However, there's instances where there isn't inherent risks, and an employer will have to actually look and consider why they do not want to reasonably accommodate such a person. And then, and I think for that, it's good for us to think about. There was a case regarding the Department of Correctional Services in POPCU, where we had these correctional service officers who had dreadlocks. And the correctional services said, look, we require all of our officers to be cleanly shaven and to not have long hair. And this was in their dress code, and which was very interesting in this matter. This dress code only applied to men and not to women. Right? Obviously, the officers referred an unfair discrimination dispute to the labor court. The court in that matter said, look, there is no... So the court came and said, you cannot simply just say that. You need to show a direct link to your dress code or some other grooming policies to show that, look, this is an inherent part of the job. The reason why we don't want you to have dreadlocks or whatever it is because of this. Because also, the correctional services also pleaded that you have dreadlocks because of our Rastafarian religion.
Mm.
And therefore, if you request that I cut my dreads off, you are infringing on my rights.
You are, yes.
In terms of that. So it's a fine balance. But without any inherent requirement, you cannot, or you should not, as an employer, prescribe that specific,
Let's listen to this WhatsApp voice note that's come through.
Hey, good morning, Clement, and 702 listeners at large. Listen, with regards to the dress code at work, I have a very funny story to tell you. I used to work for Emergency Communication Center for SAPS. We were required to wear formal, strictly formal, right? And during 2010, remember the year we hosted the World Cup, we were then told on Fridays we should wear Bafana jerseys, right? And then we were like, awesome, this is so exciting, from, you know, shirt and ties. But we were told that, you know, that's the only thing that is changing. We have to wear formal shoes and trousers with a Bafana jersey. I mean, who wears like that? So we end up deciding, you know what, let's just forget about the whole thing. We'll just stick to the formal, you know, formal shoes, trousers, shirt and tie and all that. So, yeah, that was a funny one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now, better to kick him bobos that are formal shoes with a no. Len on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, on the story of dress code, I remember working at a newsroom, a Joburg-based radio station, and our editor refused for us to wear shorts and sneakers because a president could end up coming for an interview. I was fired for wearing all-stars. The late Tito Mboweni also called out a few journalists at Pressas on how they dress. My question to you, though, is, do you dress up depending on which guests you are interviewing? That's a question from Len. Well, not. I mean, obviously, when the president came to the studio on the show, I had to dress up in a suit. And also the president was not even formal. He came in just a normal ANC t-shirt. And it just was even a jacket. Yeah, I think he had a jacket on top, but he wasn't like formal in a tie. If it's a president, I will wear a suit. But other than that, I think I come to work decent enough to be able to have a conversation with anyone. There are times when I was preparing for Comrades, I would come here from a run because I'm coming from a long run and I haven't had the time to like change. But other than that, I try avoid those moments. You still want to be presentable to your guests when they're in studio. Luckily for us, sometimes you can do the whole show and your guests are on Zoom or they're on the line. So that's my response to that question. But firing you for wearing all stars? No ways. I would have taken that boss to the CMA. Khodisho Pashe, thank you for making time for us. He's the senior associate in employment law practice.